5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
We've actually sworn not to play that anymore.
No. Put moron number two on the phone.
Well, you did. I didn't.
So. What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Good. A graders only on this show.
Yes.
And that's all we get.
Spot on, Jim.
Andy Lee in soon.
Oh, nice 100.
And don't worry, this man, among the nation's finest, although a Blues fan.
Yeah.
So shattered.
We'll ask him
Saturday
about
night.
That.
I'll ask him about that. And then Matty Preston.
Oh, the big
other
fella.
Side of it, the big man, of course, dominating on the Seven Network. But he is a Collingwood man.
He is.
And very happily at the moment, too.
Mm.
So we've got all of that. We've got a bit of other stuff to talk about, maybe a 5 5 5.
Yes.
Ooh, and boy. Then at the end of the show, a joke that if you don't hit the right button, Mumps, given that you two spooned each other last night, if you don't hit the right button after his rubbish joke, I'm out.
Jim. Just relax and enjoy.
It won't be.
No, relax and enjoy. You get too wound up.
Bill, it won't be enjoyable.
Enjoy it.
I've had an insight into it.
No, what is it? Carry on. What's that sign? Relax and carry on. That's it.
Don't you say a word.
Great to see you, Jim. And we did. There was only one motel room left in San Remo.
You too.
And we had the spoon, which was nice. It was nice and warm anyway with Rabsy. But the lovely time down there at San Remo Hotel Motel.
Yes.
Well done to the mine host, Peter Williams, and his lovely wife, Colleen.
They're lovely people. We had a great fun time.
We did. Terrific. Till about 9 o'clock, and then the ferals, they'd been there since 12, Jim.
They'd had their eye in.
They had their eye in. Wow, we.
Jeepers.
It was good, wasn't it, Rabsy?
They trailed by 3 points, and there it is. He has to go for Port Adelaide to win. And can the champ do it? Robbie Gray, the boost come from the Carlton fans. He comes in 40 metres out. Toughest spot at the Gabba. It's not bad. It's bloody terrific. He's stolen the game for Port Adelaide.
No way.
Robbie Gray. They've come from the clouds. They never look like it. And the Carlton Blues are devastated.
Yeah. Andy Lee in next. And you're playing a goal after the siren to defeat his club.
Can you get Cozzy Pickett?
Oh. He'll walk out and leave us with two segments empty. I won't blame him, man.
Time for a nice little rappy.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Jim, our listeners do like hearing about other sports other than golf, football and cricket, you flog.
It's Billy's All Sports Report.
Righto, at 4:05, Damo has just texted me saying, yes, Ben Rutten is still the coach of the Essendon Football Club, but it's only a matter of time now.
Ooh.
Wow, so there you go. So Alistair Clarkson, and what my understanding is, Jimmy Boy, got me ear to the ground.
Have you?
Just to put a few people out there.
Right.
He has or is meeting with the Essendon Football Club new president, David Barham.
Has he actually been announced as the new president or is he like the president-elect?
A president-elect, I think. He's just taken over. And he is he is meeting with Alistair Clarkson as we speak.
Yes.
So that is, and he, apparently Alistair Clarkson has said no to the Giants. He's not going to coach them next year, Jimmy Boy. So there you go. All up to date. So the Giants coach is now down to three. Mark McVay.
Yes.
Adam Uze.
The Albanian flyer.
And Adam Kingsley.
Interesting.
Uze favourite there, Jim.
Yes,
a couple of retirements, if you don't mind. Robbie Gray, we just heard him kick that magnificent goal there, has announced his retirement. 270 games,
Jim. What a superb career he had.
16 years. Very, very good player.
Box office.
Exactly. 3 best and fairest. 4 All-Australians, Jim. Won the goal-kicking twice. And I reckon he won 5 or 6 showdown medals.
Wow.
And the last game this week, showdown 52.
Yeah, brilliant. Nice so way for him to go out.
And I caught up with him.
Did you?
We're close, me and Gray. And I asked him, what's your favourite memory?
One stands out. It's probably went over and beat Collingwood at the G in a final. And just given from where we've come from before, I just remember being out in the G that night. I just couldn't believe it.
Hmm. Is that it?
Yeah.
Really?
You were there. You asked him.
I know.
That was it, was it?
Well, my recorder went a bit longer than that, anyway. Well done, Robbie Gray. What a star you've been. Also, Shane Edwards, who played his, 300th game a couple of weeks ago, Jimmy Boy. He has announced his retirement. 302 games, of course. What a champion he's been. Yep. Three premierships, and we love the way he goes about it.
So I'll ask you this question. Yes. Those two.
Yes.
Future Hall of Famers?
Both.
You'd have to say yes.
Yeah, no doubt. Got to be.
Yep.
Got to be. Got to be there. Johnny Longmire was on Talking to the People today. Jimmy, he had a message for the people about the booing, which happened last week in
Jack
Sydney.
Jack Ginnivan, yes.
Exactly. Poor old Jack was on the bench. He'd hurt his hammy. It wasn't great to hear it. And this is the big horse.
It's not so much just a message for our fans. I think just across the competition, it's important that that we respect all players, and I personally have never gone to the footy and thought about booing. It's just not something that's crossed my radar. Hopefully you can go to the game and enjoy it for what it is, a great contest. And I think that's what we should be mindful, not just our fans, but fans right across the competition.
Well said, Horse. Well done to you. Speaking of Jack Ginnivan, he was on a podcast with whom?
Tom Mitchell.
And he was talking about the effects of the scrutiny on himself.
Coming from, a nobody, no one knew who I was, and then round one, it's sort of just like the Kane Corns thing and all the tackle stuff, and I'm the poster boy of the tackle. So, like, I don't want to throw mental health around lightly because it's definitely has had an effect on me. Every time I went out in the field, I was I was already defeated for those 2 weeks. Spoke to my psych at the club, Jackie, who's an amazing person. The focus was just to have fun and go out there, and that's what I did this week. And I just went out there and smiled. When I got tackled on the ball, I just smiled. When I kicked a goal, I just smiled. Anything that happened, I was just smiling. So it was good to get back to that, I think.
Well done. Sad to hear that.
Yeah, you want him.
It's only a kid.
Look, exactly. And it can become crushing, Bill, when you've got 70,000 or 80,000 people at the ground and you think the focus is on you for the wrong reasons. You want him to be able to enjoy playing footy. So I agree.
Yeah, exactly. Another retirement in the world of cricket, Jim. Chappelli. Ian Chappell.
I know. Well, he's been on the ABC doing radio broadcasting now for the last couple of years after a glittering career with the Nine Network part of the Big Four.
Well, that's right. And no one is left there, unfortunately, when you think of Richie Beno, Bill Lawrie, and Tony Gregg, and Chappelli.
No. So the last of the four. But what an amazing man. I love Ian Chappell. Always have. He's a beauty. And he has earned retirement. And don't worry, he'll still be holding up a bar somewhere and telling you straight how it is. And if you don't agree with him, you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
That's how he rolls.
You can't win?
No, you cannot win an argument with the
NHL. He'll take a call from a few media outlets and let them know.
Oh, worry about that for a second.
And just one more. Former NRL superstar Corey Norman is facing a lengthy ban, Jim, for trying to stick his finger between the legs and up the backside of an opposition player. This happened in the Super League, a league over there in England, Jim. So he's done the hopawati.
Yeah, hopawati.
Yeah, that's it. I was trying to think of it. He done that.
Dived his hand into a man's ass crack.
Well, I don't know how far.
Bill.
Jim, he poked the backside, Jim, of Wolves player Oliver Holmes.
I think that's what we're talking about.
And we've got some audio. I can't believe this. I found some audio of the incident, Jim.
See, through the glass is Andy, and I reckon it started with the Carlton audio, and it's now finished with that.
Is Andy there?
And he's saying, I can't put my name to this garbage. I'm off.
I can't look at him.
No,
I can't look at him.
He won't.
Guess what I'll hear on Hamish and Andy, or the podcast.
Oh, you reckon they'll go with that?
Andy will come out. I've got something.
Oh,
Andy Lee, host of The 100, which returns tonight, 8:40 on Channel 9, is in the studio next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Make sure the mics aren't ever turned on during songs.
Quite aware of that.
Otherwise, he might never work again.
Triple M. We're joined by one of our favourites, Andy Lee.
100 can mean many things.
Quite a few parts of the world that's known as a Brayshaw.
What, 100?
Bring up 100.
No, it's not.
But for our next guest, the 100 means asking Australians some very tough and personal questions.
What percentage of Aussies have named their private part?
Hosting the 100 tonight on Channel 9, please welcome Andy Lee.
Ryan would have brought up a couple of hundreds of his own over the journey. Welcome to you.
Lads, nice to be. I was sitting outside watching Billy go about his work before.
Do you like that audio about the...
The longest run-up. It was longer than Ben Brown's run-up for a shank kick, wasn't it?
I'm pretty sure you'll use it.
Unbelievable. I'll use it.
Yeah. You'll go in. Hamish, I've got this really good idea.
Oh, you know what?
Oh, my God.
I'll do it with Haim. We won't broadcast on any of our channels.
No.
I can't be... But I'll do it just to see his reaction to it. But I'll do the bit stone cold, straight. And I'll feed it back to you guys and I'll let you know how it flies.
I reckon knowing Haim, he would, after it, go, "You've been listening to Bill." He would actually know where that came from. Tell me, Ian Chappell, we were just talking about the great man retiring from the microphone.
Well, I was working with the Stars for a while, doing the chief hydration stuff for them for a bit.
What did you do there?
just offered drinks.
On the bench?
On the field and off the field. Mm-hmm. I was pretty good at both. And we had a big function and we were announcing Cipelli as the chairman of selectors.
Yes, that's
and,
right.
And Eddie McGuire gets up and he did a long speech, as Eddie can.
Yes.
He stole
about
all the
himself.
Air
and then what did he say?
But he was and explaining Cipelli's here and Cipelli's going to come and talk to you all about what it means to be a Melbourne Star, which was nothing really because it just started. But anyway, and so Cipelli's nodding along and he gets up and so the room hushes and we think, okay, this is what a legend, of Australian sport. What's he going to say? And he went, "Cricket games are hard to win, so make sure you celebrate them when you do." Oh. And then just stepped off.
That was it.
Basically said, "Get shit faced when you go."
Which they used to do back in the day.
Of course they did. And Eddie was kind of hoping for a bit more clearly. And it was, that pause. Eddie doesn't often lost for words. No. Hang on, I've got to be back up there.
Chaps, anything else?
That's
sort of it?
He offered nothing else. No.
Intimidating man, though.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Triple M cricket, we see him obviously at the back of the kitchen areas at the various grounds. And you've just got to be aware that he's around.
Yes, absolutely him. And I felt both of them, when I first met him, I felt he was an intimidating
fella. Those two don't get on at all.
Really?
No. Don't speak to each other at all.
One of them asked the other one to get out the back.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, a couple of times out the back in the car park.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gee, I think I put my money on both of them.
Yeah, I know. Just in the weight division, if nothing else. Now, what have you been up to, please? The 100, of course, flying.
100 tonight. Last week we meant to launch, but Olivia Newton-John sadly passed away. So Channel 9 did the right thing and played Grease. And then we're on tonight. If people haven't seen the show, 100 people on via Zoom representing a cross-section of Australia, we can ask them a bunch of questions and they can vote and we can find out what Australia's thinking and feeling. Another segment tonight, and I was going to offer it to all of you, but if you've got a disagreement with your partner, a relationship, and you both think you're in the right, you can come on our show and you explain the incident. And then 100 Australians will vote who is in the
couple's course.
So a couple of brave couples. Wow, it's normally a female levelling against the male, I must admit.
Yep. You should get on this, Jim, because you are never
wrong. Never wrong.
Never wrong.
Ever.
And doing a bit of work with Lise, she's never wrong.
No,
that would be a beauty, you two.
I would love to have you both on and you could just present the incident.
I'd love
that. And I should be able to say this categorically, but I can't. Mm. I think she's a Scorpio and I'm a Taurus, and they are the two least compatible. Like, if you look at the words around it, they say if you can get over the fights you're going to have, you've actually got a chance to have a really good relationship. There's like a butting heads.
Right. Because Mike Goldstein is on the show with me. He's a panel, the American fellow. He's very funny. And he said he had a similar thing. He said his partner was a Scorpio and he was an arsehole.
Yeah.
And
it just wasn't... Well, at least would say the same. Speaking of which, now, I saw on your Instagram an empty MCG and two heads. So, obviously, the result Saturday night, like in my house, as you know, Lisa's stupid Carlton.
Yes.
She didn't speak for an hour and a half. She just sat there on the couch, but no words came out.
Yeah.
You, how long did it take you to get up from your seat?
I probably sat there for 12 minutes, I would say. 12 minutes, enough for the whole place to empty out, and then just didn't say much. I was there with a friend, and then I said, "Hey, let's get a photo." That was the first thing I said, to take that photo. But, it was one of those ones where it just knocked the wind out of everybody.
You didn't see it coming.
And, look, I must admit, though, I get over those type of losses quicker than I do the 10-goal, 12-goal losses. Right. I normally go home from those ones going, why the hell do I support this team? But they cracked in and they did an amazing job. And I think they
undermanned
and just got it wrong for probably 1 minute of the game at the end. But, you know, all learning experiences.
But you are a long sufferer. Yep. You have been a Carlton man for as long as any of us have known you. Mm. Have there been some times when you've thought, you know, I just can't do this anymore?
Only the once, and whether I mentioned this before to you guys, but I went to pick up Dad and he was running late. So I picked him up and we were driving in. It was Carlton St Kilda, late 90s. And as we were driving in, we normally get there for the first bounce every time, but as we were driving in, they had 6 goals kicked on them in the first 9 minutes. And I said to Dad, it was 6, and I said to Dad and said, we'll watch it, but should we just go to the pub? And he said, oh, yeah, I need that. Yeah. And so we didn't go in. It was one of the very rare times that we didn't get there.
Late 90s, because you won in, you cheated in 95.
Sorry, early 2000s. Oh, no. Early 2000s.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I was going to say
Bill can't get over the fact that
when you cheated.
95.
You beat them. And he claims it's all salary cap. And
you guys are doing the same, mate. You just didn't get caught.
Not down at Geelong we weren't, mate. We don't cheat down there. Wow. Does anyone have a go at you when they see you in Melbourne at one and they're dancing around? They go, sucked it. Oh,
yes. I had one person turn around as I was leaving and he'd just been booted from one of the venues down the bottom, the Stumps Bar or something. And he saw my scarf and he grabbed my leg. And I think he did it because I was Andy, but he gyrated against it and said, suck it, suck it.
Oh, no.
And I actually, I'm not often lost for words, but I just was going, what's happened? And so the only thing I could bring myself to say was, hey, mate, have you got a fake tan on or something? Because that just stopped him in his tracks. Yeah, he went, no, I don't have a fake tan.
You're off my leg.
What did you say that for?
Well, it's going to stop someone doing anything. If you get accused
Billy was getting his leg humped.
Yeah, but what would make you say, have you got a fake tan on?
Anything. Well, Bill, if you walked into a room and someone said to you, hey, Bill, are you wearing fake tan? It would cause you to think, hang on.
Am I?
What am I? Do I look weird? Have I got jaundice?
I know I've got that, but I haven't got a fake tan on.
More with Andy Lee in a second.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
So I was thinking, Tim, and then I got your head together and the lovely Jillies.
Andy Lee's in the studio because The 100 returns tonight, 8:40 on Channel 9 and 9 Now. Sophie Monk and Tom Gleeson on the panel.
Season 3, by the way.
Yes.
So, juggernaut. Well done. You're going to run some questions by us, or is it mainly Bill?
Oh, no, I want to run them by both of you to see who's more in touch with the common Australian.
Yes. Oh, Jim, you better not answer. Unless
how many Australians do you think? What percentage of Australians eat the skin of a kiwi fruit?
Ooh. 10.
35.
10%.
Bill with the early lead. 14%, Bill.
No one eats it, Jim.
Do you eat it?
No, I don't even know what a kiwi fruit is. I wouldn't eat it.
Yeah, he doesn't even know what he's talking about.
Not even Australian. No. You're not going to eat anything from across the ditch.
Lamb. I do like
Sophie Monk does. Sophie Monk, I learned. You learned tonight's show. Sophie Monk, she goes, I like the fur before the bite through. I'm like, all right, that's
would
a bit too much.
Then pass that with fur. How would that work?
What about this? How many people have quit their job? How many Australians, percentage, have quit their job and then asked for it back?
Ooh,
have you ever done that, Bill?
Yeah.
Channel 9.
Geelong. So I thought 7 or 10 or SBS are going to pick me up, and no suitors.
SBS.
No suitors. So I had to go back.
28%.
I reckon there's more. I reckon there's like 45.
Ooh, 10% of us. Ooh, yes.
Is that all? So
that's
it.
Went
the other way.
Right, yes. So JB has that one.
I'm back.
Oh, nearest the pin, is it?
Okay.
Well, I'm going to ask you about nearest the pin in a minute.
Okay, one last one then. Yes. What percentage of Australians have been told a deathbed confession?
Ooh. Oh, no, not many. 7%.
A few more. 25.
You think 1 in 4 people have been told a deathbed confession? Yeah. Have you been told one?
Yeah, buddy, I have good ones. No. I forget.
Anything you can share?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, is this no?
Well, I mean, I would say it's pretty rare to be beside someone that passed away. It's hard to get.
Well, I didn't understand the question. No.
What is the percentage?
4%.
Four. So I win easily.
Yeah, and JB gets it. Yes.
The percentage of men who call their private parts a name. Mm-hmm. That was off the top. What was that? Can you remember?
Oh, geez, all these ones run around my. It was men and women.
Oh.
And I think it was in the high 20s. Yeah. I think it was 27%. Oh, wow. And then we go up to the 100 and ask them, what do they name their private parts? And this lady came up and she said, I call my downstairs area the Kraken. And for those who might have seen Pirates of the Caribbean, it's a sea monster that comes up and grabs things and never lets go.
The Kraken.
Yes. So you get all sorts of, that's my favourite part of this show, hearing what people will say, share or overshare. Yes. And we hear a deathbed confession tonight, actually.
Tell me, if I say to you, all right, nearest the pin, what do you understand that to mean?
That is, if we're anywhere on the golf course, normally on a par three, whoever hits the ball closer to the pin wins.
All right. So if it's something about, I'm trying to think of an example of it. All right, crowd.
Yeah.
Coming up on Sunday, huge game, Collingwood Carlton, nearest the pin, what's the crowd going to be? What do you understand that question to mean?
I would have a guess as to how many people will attend that game at the MCG, Collingwood Carlton, and someone else might have a guess.
Yes.
And then whoever is closest to the margin, they are the winner.
So not a rounded number.
So what do you mean? Well,
no. Let's explore this because Bill doesn't see it the way you and I and Rabs do.
Well, people see it. That's the way that humanity sees
but it's
it.
The
nearest
the pin to the rounded number. So 95. If it was 95,120, and I said 95,000, I'm nearest the pin. Because it doesn't go in the pin. I don't want the exact number. I want nearest the pin.
Okay, so I'll give you a scenario.
Right.
JB says 96,000.
Yes.
You say 95,000.
Yes.
Right. And if it's 95,520, who wins?
Jim.
Well, that's what we're thinking.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. So it doesn't need to be a rounded number. You can come up with whatever number you like.
I know, but
his face.
The nearest the pin for me would be 96,000.
But why are you rounding it out? We've got a specific
number.
Because
that's what it is. It's a rounded number.
Andy, this has been going for 3 weeks and no one can get him to understand.
We'll move on.
It doesn't need to be a rounded number.
I see you went on a European holiday, Andy, 6 weeks ago. Mm. And what a shame. You went to Stonehenge.
Went to Stonehenge, yes.
The biggest waste of time in the world. A couple of rocks with a couple sitting on top. You've got to stand 300 metres away. You can't get close. Waste of time.
Pretty amazing, though, Bill.
What's amazing about it?
2,500 BC.
That's what they say. That's what they say.
You know what? My dad saw me there and he said, oh, look, I'll send you the photos of Mum and I there. They're both sitting on the bloody thing, smoking a cigarette.
They would have back in the day.
Mate, you've got to stand miles away.
Yeah, we were a bit far away, I agree. Yeah. But it's pretty remarkable. I mean, when you compare them, though, the Acropolis was being built in Greece, which is this amazing thing, the Parthenon with all these huge columns, et cetera. Yeah. And these guys have managed to put a few Jenga blocks together.
There you go, Jim. Jenga blocks or whatever they are.
Yeah. I'll tell you what you were copying from our household is some Instagram rage.
Yes.
Because we're in the middle of the freezing cold Melbourne winter and you were in all these glorious spots with bloody bathers on. And I'm like, you know what? He can get stuffed. That's all I came out with. You know, you can go and get stuffed.
I got a fair bit of that, and then I started toning it down a little bit.
Hamish and Andy, number one on the podcast ranker again, Jim, on Listener, LISTNR.
And I still haven't reeled out the Bill's approach to jokes yet. So we'll be able to real-time track the data as to whether people stop listening to us in droves when I start doing Billy's style of humour.
That Listener app. Didn't you get invited to go to Sydney a couple of weeks ago? Because they had this big Listener app thing and all the main people got invited.
Yes.
And I did.
Yes.
Didn't see you up there.
No.
Or Hamish.
No. Haim and I, we did get invited.
Oh.
We were otherwise engaged.
And you weren't in any photos.
Yeah.
And don't know what the
was there a photo was. Of us at the function?
No.
No.
I took it down. I saw it.
You only went because they didn't want to go.
No, I got invited and I thought I should go.
When you on your invite, was my name crossed out?
Great to see you, mate. Great to be on, guys. 8:40 tonight, Channel 9.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I went to a joint gym that was that small that I put my key in the front door and it opened the back door.
Oh, no.
Shebang. Yeah. Peter and Gil.
Shebang.
Jimmy boy, on Saturday, on the Saturday Rub, I broke a magnificent story, if you don't mind, umpire, where I heard that a lot of Australian cricketers were coming into town. Ricky Ponting had organised it, the skipper, of course, had organised for these magnificent cricketers to come to Melbourne.
You broke a story.
I broke it, Jim. Yeah. So Shane Watson was there, Bluey, your mate, Bluey, 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 Gilly, 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 Andrew Bickle, Buff, Lehman, Matty Hayden, Brett Lee, and also Justin Langer. So a lot of them your mates, yes. So that you would have spoken to. But unfortunately, Jim, you weren't invited to this magnificent...
Yeah, because I was working, Bill. Friday night, working all day Saturday.
So you weren't available. Invited. You weren't invited.
Not available.
Doesn't matter. You weren't invited once. So if you don't get invited, no,
Bill,
it doesn't care if you're
able
available.
To attend.
No, you didn't make it, Jim, because there was only one little reason. You didn't play for Australia. And we all know that, and we all thought that was funny. And a little
you
chuckle.
You thought it was funny?
No. But how did it all go, do you know?
I don't
because
know.
They're all your good mates.
Bill, I
Bluey's
was working.
Your best mate.
I was working.
JL.
Not able to attend because of work.
They stayed at Crown. They went to Capital. They went down here somewhere. Bill Ponsford
down
was
down here somewhere.
Bill Ponsford was there.
Oh, no, really? Ponsford. Did Bill start to roll his number? Who did? Stan McCaig or someone you said?
Victor Trumpet.
Victor Trumpet.
They were all there, had a great time.
Ray Linwall.
Oh, no. They were all there. Everyone had a great time, but you weren't invited.
Bill,
so
I was at work.
Did you hear?
I don't know what else about that you don't understand.
So you
but I wasn't able to attend because I was at work.
Didn't hear anything from any
I
of the boys.
I think they would have had a great time. They went to the St Andrews Beach Brewery, our great friends.
Yes, nice. Exactly.
Took the room out the back and had a punt and watched the footy and had
you
a beer.
There. You weren't there.
And then I would have had, I think they went to the Sorrento Hotel and the new restaurant there. They had a little room.
Nice.
And Phil, what they did, I imagine, is have a, the other one, the old,
the pub.
Traditional.
So you were there?
So they had a great time, Bill, together.
And you weren't there?
Bill.
Why weren't you there?
Unlike you.
Why didn't you get invited?
I don't go to other people's reunions.
Why didn't you
I only go to reunions of teams that I played in that won.
So you didn't get invited.
That's why you don't go to any reunions.
Because you didn't play for Australia. You didn't
I
get a baggy
able
green.
To go.
No, you did not get invited. I'm going to ring JL.
Are you?
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
I said, why? I did. I had a chat to him because he
you?
Rang, he likes
you
me.
You had a chat to him,
since
yeah,
last
of
time.
Course
said,
you did.
I said, what happened to Jim? I thought you were good mates.
Yeah,
we are, but he never played for Australia. Even though he thinks he should have and he could have.
No, I do.
Never...
That is incorrect.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
She pulls out a rectal phenomena.
I beg your pardon? I'd packed up my stuff.
Who we got next?
We've got Damien Barrett on the line right now. And the reason we've got the game's number one newsbreaker is that all hell is breaking loose, Purple, at the Essendon Footy Club.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Bill. Yeah, and the hell breaking loose description is indeed still at play. It's just that it's slowed down a bit today. It's a slow hell. It's a slow burn of hell. And I say that because they've forced Ben Rutten to arrive at the club really early this morning when it was still pitch black. He has taken training. He's spoken to players. And as of about 20 minutes ago, I actually spoke to someone who represents one of the players. And it's game on as far as the preparation today for their round 23 match. So it's shoddy business given what they've done as a club yesterday. And as we discussed at length yesterday, they've done what they did with that boardroom change for the one reason, that is to engage in conversations with Alistair Clarkson, which we believe have happened today in a meaningful sense. There'd been unofficial conversations prior to yesterday, Bill, through those power brokers who make phone calls. But today there's been a call of substance, and how that looks and how it's going to play out from now, only Alistair Clarkson will know, as has been the case now for some time.
So Ben Rutten took training today out at the hangar.
Yeah, that's what I've been told today, Bill,
yep.
and acted and carried himself with the dignity as you'd expect, but given what they did yesterday and given what they're doing behind the scenes in engaging with LSC Clarkson, which is they're right as a club to do so, but obviously when you've got your incumbent in place and forcing that person to roll up as though nothing has happened and as though it's all systems go and all normality, it's pretty unfair given what they are doing behind the scenes and what they were about to do yesterday.
And Clarko has said no to the Giants, is that right?
Look, they're always the distant second to North Melbourne, Bill, in terms of what happened there. look, they wanted an answer as of last night, and I believe they've got a form of communication today that has made it pretty clear to them that it is as they felt, that it was going to be North Melbourne over the GWS team of those two options. But as we now know, the third entrant in the race is Essendon, and that's the one that's closing really, really hard, Bill.
What do you think about that, Jim, being a North Melbourne
I have no
man?
Idea, Bill. No. I have not spoken to anyone.
No one.
Certainly not to Alistair Clarkson. So where does that leave? Adam Uze suddenly shortens for the job up there, Purple?
Kingsley?
He does in my reckoning, Jim. Yeah, that was the one over Kingsley from what I could gather. Now, again, we're making these assessments from afar and outside the tent, but that has been the industry talk for some time now, that if Clarkson was going to say no, and they'd had that inkling basically from the moment they sat down with him. They certainly went through the process, and he did with them, and they got it all out on the table, but they never, ever at any stage, unlike North Melbourne, felt that he was leaning toward them. Now, North Melbourne has felt that, and they had reason to think that, and the curveball has been the entry of the Essendon club in the last 48 hours over the course of the weekend. So, yeah, but back to your question, Jim, that would be my take on it. Look, Mark McVay, though, still hasn't given up hope, and some would argue has made a compelling enough case to be closing in considerations, but I still feel it would be Adam Uze.
Did you get a call yesterday saying that Ben Rutten had been sacked? And if you
I got a text message saying that was the case, Bill. Yeah,
but you didn't go with it. Obviously, you got
didn't
to
go with it. No, yeah. I mean, I've just been around enough times, Bill, to know that sometimes when you go with something that might be 100% right, it can be then forcing a change on how that plays out. So you're asking that for what reason, Bill?
No, because I assume that a couple of people must have got the texts or the texts. And some have gone with it and some didn't. And our man Damo didn't. So well done.
So where does this go from here, Purple? What's your gut feeling as to what happens in the next 48 to 72 hours?
I believe, Jim, that there's been another board hookup today of sorts, and I believe there'll be another one tonight. I reckon that David Barham, who's now doing a lot of things by himself, and that's okay because he's taken the board over and he's forced the change at the top. That's his right to do so. He's got a relationship that goes way back with James Henderson, Alistair Clarkson's manager. That's not to say that there's going to be anything untoward, but they're very close, and them talking is almost a regular occurrence anyway. I would imagine there'd be some information fed back to the board tonight and how the board then chooses to react to that and what that means for Ben Rutten preparing for this game of footy on the weekend could well be impacted. If they get to a point where Alistair Clarkson has said more to them than he currently had yesterday and today, well, yeah, we'll see some movement. But I just don't see Ben Rutten being there beyond the weekend at the latest because of what's happened.
Shame for him. Good man, Ben Rutten.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Purple,
these things
thank
happen,
you.
Jim.
No, do. And you always feel for the individual.
You do.
Thanks for that, mate.
Cheers, boys.
Damo will have the latest on Essendon and Alistair Clarkson tomorrow on the Midweek Rog with Joey, Daisy and Duck.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I'm not saying it's a fait accompli, but I'm saying that it's a fate. Oh, wow. And not complete yet.
Just
not
complete.
The moment you've all been waiting for.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, this is bizarre. It's Billy's unique look at the other side of footy.
Five. Very good today.
Is it?
No.
Five at 5:06. Thank you, Rabsy. Nicely here on a Tuesday, 16th of August.
Here we go.
And we start with our man Jay-Z.
What's at number five, Fat?
Thank you. We start with our man Jay-Z. You know what, Jim? He's learning the game, unlike me. He's learning the game because you know why? He's taking the mickey out of himself.
Here at Marvel Stadium, of course, just watching Adam Kennedy, who we mentioned earlier, go through another fitness test, spent some time with the doctors, got a left knee issue. You'll see he's had that strapped up. He'll try and get back out there. He's on sub-watch, boys.
He's getting there.
Exactly.
Now, man.
Exactly.
Old Chubbles.
How about number four, Bins?
Oh, now, a great game. You were commentating. You had Ash Chua there, Jim. It was the exciting part of the game. And we went to Ash to explain the Bulldogs' finals chances.
Well, they've stayed alive, Ash. What does it mean for the Dogs?
Means that their finals contention is still
there for them, Baz.
In the balance.
Oh, alive. I wasn't expecting it.
What did that mean?
So clear.
Can you explain that again in some different words?
It means they still have a pulse.
Come on, Ash. Guess who asked me to play that? I wasn't going to. Ethan.
Huey.
Yeah. Number two out there. Number two.
They take it personally, those two.
Exactly right. Good start, Bill.
What's at number three, Cocco?
Thank you. Our man, Nath, Jim. I'm not sure about Nath.
What's happening with him?
I don't know.
Been up in the snow all week.
Exactly. Well, there lies... The
again?
Answer. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
There lies your problem because he had a weird Sunday. First of all, this is how he kicked off the show.
It is a massive game. They don't come much bigger than this. Collingwood can go to second, or Sydney can go up there. Collingwood go to fifth if they lose. It's exciting.
Great to see Nate's up and about today.
Anyone just bother to talk after
you are up and about,
a great intro.
I feel you're going to lift the spirits.
We coordinated on that.
Jake.
Well, what is that?
That's his intro. Nate stopped.
I think he said something wrong.
No, it was worse. He all got a bit awks with an interview with Dean Cox.
You know, I've loved every minute of it. You know, at some stage, I had to move away from Perth, and I was fortunate enough to get the opportunity to come to a great club in Sydney, and I loved every minute of that so far.
Yours, Brenny?
Oh, sorry, boys. I thought you had your hand up. Coxie, all the best today. Dean Cox there, what a superstar. Sorry, I just
what
thought
happened
you...
there, mate? Did you just fall asleep?
I was watching the footy on the screen.
Mind you, I will say this.
Yeah.
When you're hosting a radio show and you think someone's got a question they're going to ask, then you just mentally tune out a little because you think, well, he's got another question.
He did
coming.
That.
But as soon as someone doesn't ask it, you then crap yourself.
Yeah, jump in.
You go, What? Yeah. That's how I feel for him.
Well, it happened again just before the game.
Oh, no.
Also.
The number one for pressure in the forward half. Last week against the Demons, their rating was 200. The AFL average is 172, Brownie. Oh, sorry, no. Okay, and another change.
He did put his hand up and wave to you.
He did. But...
What's he up to, Nate?
He waved to Ash and Ash stopped and then, I don't know. Come on, Nate. Get off the snow.
Yes.
Next.
Give us number two, Smack.
Hey, I like this. I haven't heard this one, Jimmy Boy. The Front Bar, one of our favourite shows. Oh, yeah. Have they had some good guests over the year?
Some real good ones and then some ordinary
they
ones.
They found some footage of Mick Malthouse just after he retired way back. Have a listen to this. Mick Malthouse.
As Mick Malthouse found out in 1983, it's retirement. It's not all it's cracked up to be.
Last year, Malthouse's season came to an end when he dislocated his shoulder. The Thursday night before the grand final, he failed a fitness test and has not played since. He now wants to play league football again.
I must admit, a couple of weeks ago, I didn't really feel like it. I thought, well, this is good. I'll sit back now and enjoy my family. But 1 week at home, it was enough.
Come on, Mick.
1 week
what
at home.
What about on Nanette?
So, no, he's going to retire.
Been happy hearing that.
He just wanted to get back out there.
Or his four kids.
Creepers.
How's that?
1 week's enough.
Don't you love that old, not vision, Jim, it'd be audio. Don't you love that?
Oh, it's both. It's vision and audio.
Yeah, well, you're listening to the vision, I would have thought, because it's through the ears. Anyway, to round it up.
Listening to the vision.
Round it up, Raps.
What do you got at number one, Bill?
Oh, thank you, Bill. Well done, Billy. Your mate, Jimmy Boy, the Chief.
And, Chief.
And he was talking about his helmet.
Oh, no.
Have a listen.
I reckon one of our listeners might have the helmet.
The helmet?
I hope they do.
Well, give us a call if you've got the helmet.
It was an ugly thing, too.
No,
it was a diving belt.
You wore it well, Chief.
But it wasn't professionally made. It was really crafted by a suit. Like, it wasn't off the production line where all the seams and everything are well managed. It was just crap.
Was it bespoke or not?
Well, it was made by the surgeon because it had to come far enough down over my forehead to protect the fracture.
Right.
And it came down that far that it was pushing one of my eyes closed. So it made it very hard to see the ball while I was wearing it.
Were you aware that it was going to provide so much joy for us, Chief, for so many years?
Well, at the time, Duke, I was more concerned with the intestinal fortitude and courage that it took to actually get back into the game, risking life and them not expecting to be
ridiculed,
to be lampooned by people such as yourself.
I think Brayshaw led the way on that, though.
No doubt. No question. Purple. No doubt we did. I demanded it be shown on the Footy Show as often as possible.
Didn't we bring it in once?
Yeah, the diving bell.
Terrible.
No,
looking
horrific thing. Looking thing.
What about Dar's couple of questions? Oh, you wore it well, Chief. And then Ted, about the joy. Well done, Luke.
Have we said this? You need to poke the Chief.
No, Jim.
You do.
You can poke him for so much, but
when
then
he gets, it's when he gets his under his skin, that's when you get the best out of him.
Oh, I know, I know.
And it's when he can wind right up.
And when he sees you next, look out.
And he loves me, Chief.
He hates you.
He does.
Oh, that was a good one.
Well, it was a very good one. Yeah. Bill.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Plus, he went down to Antarctic.
Yes.
He's
to the Antarctic or Antarctica, Bill.
Oh, well, he went down to the Antarctic.
Right. Hey, what we need to do is very, very gratefully thank the magnificent staff at the San Remo Hotel. They looked after us superbly last night. We had a ball there. The show was great, so thank you.
Peter Williams and Colleen, the mine hosts.
Mansfield we go to next Monday.
Exactly.
The Delatite.
The Delatite.
On the roundabout there.
Heart of the high country, Jim. Yes, we'll love it up there.
We
beautiful.
Cannot wait for that.
Two-story.
No, it's a beautiful place.
Dean Mansfield. Bell will look after us.
Dean Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Bell. Righto, I'll Belly. We're coming at you, Belly, right, with a caravan,
now,
of course.
So that's where we've been, where we're going, but...
Yes.
Poor Fat.
Oh.
With an announcement.
We have.
Hang on.
Thanks to our van RV, we're going to Kyneton. And we're going to the Shamrock Hotel, Jimmy boy.
Wow-wee.
That'll be Monday fortnight.
Right.
Yes, the Shamrock Hotel in Kyneton. Oh, there's some history there, my friend. Don't worry about that.
Well, including the way you say it, because there are some, I'm looking at Whit, is there an N in there or not? Are we Kyneton or Kyneton?
Kyneton.
No, there's no N in there, Bill, they reckon. Well, the locals.
I'm going to spell it to you, Jim.
No, K-Y-N-E. It's not about how it's spelled.
Cockburn.
There's a beautiful town, by the way, Kyneton. Yeah. So we cannot wait to get up there, Bill.
The Shamrock.
To the Shamrock.
So that's Monday week, but next Monday, the Delatite Hotel in Mansfield. Absolutely. Each day and play at the Delatite Hotel, the heart of the high country.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You been to Athens?
Yeah, I've been there. Oh, I did a cashy there, Jim.
Cheapest.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and the cash bounced. That's how bad they're going.
Oh.
My Kitchen Rules airs Sunday to Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. on Channel 7 and 7 Plus with world-class judges Nigella Lawson, Manu Fidel, and this man, Matt Preston.
Throughout history, there have been some stunning superstar defections. LeBron James to Miami.
In this form, we'll take my talents to South Beach.
Buddy to the Swans.
Piss off, bud! You can't be doing that!
And even Brian Taylor to 3AW, then back to us.
Why'd you do it, and why are you back?
Money.
But there might be none bigger than this man going from MasterChef to My Kitchen Rules.
The true star is Matt Preston's cravat.
Please welcome, along with his cravat, Matt Preston.
How welcome is he?
Our man.
I feel like I walked in here like Shane Wayward walking into Collingwood.
That's
what I feel like, you know.
That's it.
Was really good once, now faded like shadow of my former self.
I don't know if you'd fade away.
Have a listen to Bill.
Not the way I eat, Bill. You know that. You know that. Not when there are chocolate digestives outside. And all I can think of is I'm looking at your can, at your kind of V, and the Diet Coke on the other side of the table, JB.
That's it.
And I know that if I said chocolate biscuit, you may well knock me down in the rush.
Well, we hit them because they were there, and I said, "Quick, Matty's coming in. Get rid of the chalky biscuit."
You're gonna lose them. That's it. You go. Where do they go? That's what happens.
Where is your cravat?
It's my profession. Oh, I got up this morning and it was dark and couldn't find one that matched. I went, I can't be bothered.
Oh.
So I thought, I'm doing radio. You know, we can pretend. I'll sound the same.
Where's your nice cravat you got on?
Thank you very much indeed. I made this one myself. I just edged it with a blanket stitch and away we go. This actually comes from Remnant Bill at Spotless. It was cost me $2.50.
Good Spotless.
Mm. Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
Now, Matty, the way I see it is the opposite.
Yes.
And that is that you've done some amazing work at a lesser network.
Mm.
And it was only a matter of time before the bright lights of the number one lured you.
To this
and thing. Now look where you are. 7 and 7 Plus in prime time with My Kitchen Rules.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you know, I look at it the other way. I think of it's like you've had a great time. You had a great time, and that's come to an end. And now you get the chance. Someone comes back to you. This is like being in retirement. You know, I went to Seven, did plate with them, had all the lockdown, and then I get that phone call going, Do you want to just come in and do six
Bloody
episodes?
Earth you do.
And then you go, wow, how interesting. Like, it's just fascinating to do it. And then they go, well, you'll be with Manu. And I go, well, that's even better. Ooh, so that's a big plus.
And
then you go, well, you're going to go around to people's houses. They're going to feed you their favorite home cooked dishes. And we're going to pay for it. And it's like, hey, well, there is no downside about that. There's no downside about that.
So do you actually go into their houses?
Yeah, into their actual houses with the pictures of them, their wedding pictures up on the wall and the kids and the stuff when obviously they've tidied up the house, they put things into cupboards, but you can never truly hide your whole life is there. So, so there'll be things like there'll be one random school shoe just in the middle of the corner over there. There'll be a pile of school bags with stuff with the lunchbox from 3 days ago, just kind of crawling out as they do, So that's also great. That's a huge privilege to be able to do that in their house rather than a kind of a more sterile environment.
Well, we need to ask. What? Yeah. Nigella.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Amazing.
She's brilliant.
Yeah, she is brilliant. And that's just typical of Manu. That's the sort of person, that's the mark of the man. Mm-hmm. Kept Nigella all to himself for that first round. And then went, oh, I'm going to be on, me and Nigella, we're going to be eating together, we're sitting at a table, it'll be lots of fun. And it's like, walk in as. Why is it just the Frenchman? What's going on? Well, I've got the Frenchman. No, it was lovely. She's fantastic. She's done an amazing job. And it's great to see her with a bit more space to actually see the kind of the warmth and the humanity that she brings. It sounds so pretentious, but there's a general, she generally likes these people, cares. Obviously, we're competitive. Obviously, she did round one. She did those first six cooks. I was texting her going, what are they like? How good? Yeah. What's the best thing? Well, you really like she had a lobster curry. She really liked how fair is that. And then as soon as I'm getting in, I'm going, oh, you should have had this barramundi dish. I'm trying to make her jealous. Go, oh, no, the quality of the food sounds way better than my six. So that there's a little bit of healthy competition
good.
There.
And we all love her, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
And we don't know her like
she is
you.
She's cool.
But she's cool. She's cheeky.
Yeah, she's cheeky. That's right. I think that's the thing. I think people get kind of lost in the whole licking the fingers thing. And actually, when you meet her, you realize that Bill likes. Sorry, Bill just
look at Bill.
You know what?
Suddenly lost his way.
Strangely, you've just ruined Nigella. Now every time I'm going to see Nigella licking her fingers, I'm going to see Billy Brown licking his fingers. And I'm just saying, it's not quite the same.
No,
JB.
It is not the same.
Not quite the same.
I love
close.
It. You know, when you get up in the middle of the night, you might go to the toilet or something, and she goes to the fridge.
Where are we going?
No, she goes to the fridge and grabs a bit of cake or a bit of chocolate and all that. Because we all do that. Us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Bigger ones.
More generously proportionate personalities.
But we all do that.
Because you're here, because it's well known that cake calls your name.
Cake
sits in the middle of the night, you wake up and you go, Billy. Billy. Come downstairs, Billy.
No, and then you fight it off. And then you wake up an hour later,
and you wake up and your hands actually in the fridge, and you got a slab of chocolate cake. You go, how did I get here?
I love it when you buy a nice chicken, you got it sitting there, and then you wake up in the morning, there's legs and wings everywhere because you used to attack it at night.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there is a reason why you don't take the souvlaki to bed, Billy.
Now, Matty, every time we get you in, we're very excited about My Kitchen Rules. Of course, it's dominating, but you are an aficionado when it comes to Melbourne dining, and Melbourne has. Yes. Some of the best restaurants in the world, including, now, have I got the naming of it, Gimlet? Gimlet is now in the top 50 in the world.
It's in the top 100 in the world, just been named Victoria's best restaurant in the Delicious 100. And that's one of the things that, when, I don't know, Yota Mottolinghi's coming to town or Nigella comes down, we give them some names. So, Nigella really loved Aru when she was here, which is this place, which is in kind of great place on a Saturday, just off Swanston Street, kind of modern Australian, Asian twist, indigenous ingredients. But also there are lots of smaller bars with great food, like Bar Liberty, or I'm a big fan of a place called Hope Street Radio, just standing, of course, in Collingwood. because it's unpretentious food, it's got a great atmosphere, and it's fun. And I think we're all getting a bit over the whole 4-hour degustation. No, who wants that? Really? Does anyone want that anymore? I don't know. Especially when, as we know, prices have gone crazy now.
What?
And you're just going, like, really? Honestly? There was a great piece that John Lethlean did. It was like $900 for a meal for two. I'm quite happy with a burger from Andrews with a lot. Thank
all
you.
Right, Bill, we can't meals go any good further.
And really great pub meals. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, we can't hold him back.
Well, we'll take
11 in a row.
Take a break.
All right, we'll get to his favourite topic next. Oh.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
It's not Incy Wincy.
It's not. It's Hugey Woogey.
We're joined by celebrity chef and judge on My Kitchen Rules, Matt Preston.
And Collingwood Nuffy, fair to say. And, well, this is what happens with Collingwood.
Smile.
Yeah, you're too well presented and the teeth are too intact to be proper Collingwood. But you do the home and away thing traditionally very well, and then we sneak into September and the wobbly boots can get pulled on at times. This is coming from a fan of the team that are coming 18. Yes. So let's park that for a second. But are you confident with what's going to happen in the next month?
So far I've been right with the last four games. I knew we were going to lose to Sydney. That seemed to be written down there. I knew we were going to end the weekend on 5th. Went on record with that. That's where I think...
Carlton
this week will beat them, and I think we might beat them. This is the thing: if we beat them, how many points is it? It's not a lot. If we beat them by enough points, and the Bulldogs win, and we're assuming they're going to win because they look like the favourites against Hawthorn, you assume they're going to win that game. How much joy would there be for the Collingwood football team to ensure that Carlton don't make the eight? I mean, if you want to know, if we were asking people to ring in at this moment. Collingwood fans to ring and say, look, you can make the grand final, you're going to lose to Geelong like everyone's going to lose to Geelong, or you can stop Carlton getting into the eight. I reckon it's 50-50 I'd be putting my hand up saying it'd be quite funny. Just to kick that last goal, the extra 6 points, just tips the percentage over. Yep. Oh, see you next year, boys.
You're going to be part of the 85 to 90 Thesbier. Sunday's crowd will be enormous.
I'm on a plane, but I was there for the Dons game. I was there for the D's game. And, you know, I think this is the beautiful thing. 6 weeks ago, everyone was sitting there saying there's no way Collingwood were even going to make. They're even going to make the eight. Mm-hmm. And for a team, and I think this is, you know, North Melbourne supporters would identify with this, you're 17th. And all you want is just for them to give you a bit of a go.
Compete, a little bit of hope.
You know, a little bit of hope, a little bit of joy. And I think Hawthorn have seen that. At Ed Times, Essendon have seen that. The McRae thing, revolution, has been beyond any of our expectations, I believe. And I think as Collingwood fans,
I agree with that.
How good has he been? Craig
amazing.
McRae.
Amazing.
No one really knew much of him. Knew he played a bit of footy, assistant coach. Yeah. He's been unbelievable.
Yeah, but you know that those 5 years in development at Collingwood, the time he had with the under-18s at Queensland, he's been around the traps. And I think that's one of those things, isn't it? You look at really good coaches and they've had different mentors over their journey and they don't just suddenly appear fully formed. Yeah. And you know,
what he's done, Matty? He is we actually like Collingwood. If you don't barricade Collingwood, people actually like Collingwood. Yeah. You like the way you play, play good footy, and he's very humble. And you go, he's a good bloke. Collingwood are going, well, I actually like Collingwood. I can't believe it.
Yeah, but you know what the terrible thing is? As my friend, the Melbourne fan, told me the other day, he said, look, we all really like Collingwood, but gee, we still hate the supporters. I think that's the way.
Where do you sit on the Ginnivan thing? It was very sad to hear him talking. Yeah, but he was also talking to Tom Mitchell, I think, on a podcast thing and talking about how his enjoyment of the game has evaporated over the last sort of 6 or 7 weeks with all that's happened. And you don't like hearing that from a young man.
I think all we ask from the umpires is consistency a week in for the season. If you want to change things at the end of the season, let everyone know that's the case. I think there was a sense perhaps from that it was, you know, wasn't consistent. I think there was a lot of football fans believe that.
Yeah.
So I think that's frustrating. And the Crips thing and I think all we want to know is, you know, we should all be able to sense. We all know what ball is, right?
Yep.
Pretty much everyone agrees in the crowd, apart from the Collingwood fans, going, ball! even when it's been, you know, we all kind of know what's right. I think normally in the crowd, we know when it's deliberate. And I think most people kind of know that. But it's hard when there are those grey areas. Yeah. And you know, do we need VAR? Will that slow down the game? You know, but it's... you know, you don't ever want to see, even if he's a rat bag, you don't ever want to see a player taken out of the game. But you know, if you're gonna do that, if you're gonna say you don't duck into tackles, then that's gonna be the way for everyone, isn't it?
It didn't help him at training when he was practicing for it. No, that video should never have got out when he was practicing. Yeah. Who's your favourite player of all time, Collingwood?
Oh, Collingwood. Look, it's got to be the man that made me a Collingwood fan in the first place. That's Peter Dacos, number 35.
The Macedonian Marvel. Hey,
the Macedonian Marvel. Just sitting there in the UK and watching, you know, Stephen Quatermain talking about it and watching this guy doing what he could do with the wrong shaped ball. It was like basketball with a Sharon. That's like that's like insanity.
No, he's throwing a couple of good ones too. Nick, a very good player. Yeah. But you know who's had a really good year with Nick Bean there is Josh. Yeah, he's got better.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
Of course I am. Good. I can't remember the last time I was wrong.
I think JB can remember, and that was probably about half an hour ago.
Funny enough, Matty, when you're thinking about your best ever players, Bill didn't come to mind.
No, this is Collingwood.
No, just full stop.
You would have seen me.
In fairness, I saw him play in the grand final. He was pretty good in that grand final. Was that 94?
Not 95. Not 95 or 4 or 2 or 1.
Maybe you're looking at a bloke with number 5.
No, it wasn't. He was pretty good. I remember people going, because, you know, obviously the other favourite player was Rene Kink, you know, the galloping gasometer. And Billy, there was something about that, you know.
Similar shapes.
And losing grand finals.
And also, you'd have to throw Mick Martin in there, wouldn't you?
No, oh, Mick.
What a prince amongst men.
He liked to club people, Mick.
He did.
That's basically how he operated.
He did it well.
My Kitchen Rules.
When is it, Jim?
Sunday to Wednesday, 7:30 p.m., Channel 7 and 7 Plus. Ooh. Great to see you, Matty Preston, always.
JB, Billy, thank you.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, Marco, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
We had Matty Preston in, of course, one of our favourites, has been for a long, long time. I said to him at the end of the segment, we turned the mics off, I said, Matty, feel like hanging around for Bill's joke?
And?
Oh, f*** no. He couldn't get out of here quick enough.
Jim, I don't know if he dropped
the magic. He did not want any part of it, and I don't blame him. Oh. Jay-Z tomorrow, by the way, Hump Day quiz as well, so a beautiful middle-of-the-week arrangement. But, Bill.
Jim, you're naughty.
Let's go with something that's hopefully funnier than yesterday's one, which wasn't that funny.
No, that was good. Knock, knock, Jim.
End the day with a laugh.
I have a joke.
This is Billy's joke.
Righto, Jimmy boy, here we go. I did like that chicken knock-knock.
Oh, no,
joke
you did, Bill. No one else did, loved but it. You did.
Actually, they loved it out there. Wasn't that good down at San Remo?
Oh, very good, San Remo.
Not later on, Jim.
It did get a bit loud.
A colleague of mine, Jim.
Oh, what was that?
A colleague of mine complained of a headache. I said, do what I do. I rest my head on my wife's lap. And it goes away. The headache goes away, Jim. And next day, he comes into work. I said, did you do what I told you to do? He said, yes, I did. That's a colleague said that. He said, yes, I did.
What is this? What is this?
I'm going to start.
Oh, my God. You're not allowed to start again.
Yes, you can.
You've got to finish the joke from here.
We'll start.
No, we're not starting again.
A colleague of mine complained of a headache, Jim.
Yes.
I said, do what I do. I rest my head on my wife's lap and the headache goes away.
Right.
The next day I asked, did you do what I told you to do? Yes, I sure did, said my colleague.
Yes.
By the way, you have a nice house.
Oh, no. After all of that. After all of that.
He's gone away. He's gone to my house, Jim. Well, I wasn't there.
No, thank you, Bill.
We poor could old see Dale sitting on the couch.
Punchline of that joke coming. From San Remo.
And the Dale was sitting on the couch.
Don't you think about hitting any other bait.
Yes! Good joke, Jim. Yeah, it's actually a good joke. It's a good joke. Well done. Well done, Rats. San Remo. Sucked in. See you Friday. Have a spell. Oh, he's giving me a brown eye.
I know.
He's chucked his brown eye.
Oh, delivery was perfect.
It was. Good delivery. Well done. You are the king of Geelong. Get a hoodie done by song.